Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of The Limit Breakdown. We review everything in TV shows, movies, and everything going on in entertainment. I'm your host, Sid.
I'm Migs.
And today we'll be reviewing the Netflix Avatar series. Our too long didn't watch review of this series is Four Hearts. Now, this series was pretty faithful to the source material. Had really solid special effects, and Gordon Cormier, who played Aang, was a very likable as a lead.
However, the story felt a little bit rushed. There was a lot of content that kind of got pushed to the side. The acting was average at best in a lot of the portions and from a lot of the characters. And overall, General Shao's plan to destroy the moon was banda fodder. All right, whole bunch of banda fodder.
So stick around after our intro for our in-depth, deep dive, spoiler-filled review of Avatar: The Last Airbender, the Netflix live-action adaptation. Everybody, to our review of Avatar: The Last Airbender, the Netflix live-action adaptation. Now, before we begin this review, I want to mention one quick thing.
Okay.
I am a Avatar fanatic. I have seen the original and Korra. Migs, at the time of him watching this show, had never seen the original source material. So this will be I am very glad we did this because it gives us a two-sided perspective. One side coming from a fan, and the other side coming from somebody who has just only watched the new stuff. So I'm actually very excited for this
review.
Well,
okay. Full disclosure. I really liked it. So much so that immediately after finishing the live action series, I began to binge the animated. I am about halfway through the second season now.
Boom. You see that?
The animated.
That's how good the original is. So if you have not seen the original, you see that? You see that?
But
anyway, so what were your initial thoughts of the live action?
Okay. So just going right into it, not really knowing much about the world, not knowing much about the series in general, it grabbed me and it hooked me. Like the lore is expansive, the concept is pretty cool, you know, the four nations, yada yada, the earth, wind, fire. Is that a
bear? They all meet in September.
Earth, wind, and fire, and air. And then, you know, they got a whole like fifth element thing going on.
With the avatar.
Yeah, but I thought that it was all really cool, you know, each of them having their specialized warriors that could bend the elements, and then the avatar being the one that could unite them all and all of that. I thought that was really cool. I thought that it was very interesting that, of course, you know, fire is the one that gets out of control. That concept was pretty cool. And It also plays with the trope of like reincarnation and cycles. So like when the avatar gets reincarnated, and then it goes through a cycle, and so now with the current cycle, the next avatar is supposed to be coming out of the air tribe.
Well, this one was the air. Yes. Yeah. So after Aang would be water.
Yeah.
Yep. Correct. Yeah, so the world is expansive. It's amazing. That's why I fell in love with it. I love the original show. My dog's name is Boomy. So, obviously, I love the show. And then from the live action, what I thought was pretty interesting. It did keep close to the source material, which I thought was pretty solid. However, obviously, they twisted it just so it's a lot darker. There was less jokes. Aang was less. So, in the original, Aang is a little bit less, or a little bit more childlike, more like free-spirited. In this one, he's more grounded, and he's like, I need to do this as a goal.
In fairness, the original material, one thing that I guess I never really knew, I didn't really think to ask anyone, but because, you know, animes at times can be dark, and they can have adult themes. I didn't know this was a Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
So
it is a very light, so the original show is very lighthearted, very, very dark undertone.
Yeah.
Versus this kind of flip the script where it, from the get go, the scene's a lot darker. Aang himself isn't as, not flamboyant is not the word, but like more free spirit. He's very like, hey, I need to do this. It's a lot darker tone, which is which I like. So if they had done this show, you know, scene by scene, line by line as the original, I don't think I would have liked it as much. Yeah. I kind of like the creative aspect they put into it.
Well, it's also different too for them to take, because the animated episodes are about 23 minutes a piece, mm-hmm. give or take. Each one of these episodes was about an hour.
Yeah, 40
minutes. And there were 8, right?
Yep, there was 8 episodes.
I thought they did a great job of telling the story from the first season, because it's divided into chapters, right?
Correct. Chapters, yeah.
So telling the story of the first chapter, which is the first season, and right where it concluded was right on with the source material. So I thought, there, like you said, there were some changes that were made, but I didn't think that they were detrimental to the progression of the story. There were some of the characters like Zuko. Mm-hmm. I can't stand him.
Yep, that sounds about right. And, he that is his character.
And like, I can see that, like, they're trying to go with this, like, sympathetic angle to him, to where, like, you know, he's just like this person that was, like, beaten down, and he's actually like deep down inside, he's actually kind of a decent guy. But you have to go really deep.
Yep. Emotional damage. Ugh. That's what happens when you have generational trauma.
Yeah, but that scar too.
Yeah. Another thing that obviously you may not have caught. So one of the things that they did, the pacing was very fast because they had to cover a lot of material. And it kept pretty well. So when they got to when they got to Omashu, mm-hmm. There were 3 events that happened in Omashu that in the series happened at 3 completely separate times.
Yes.
So them meeting Jet, the whole thing with the tunnels, as well as
the thing with the engineer
and obviously King Bumi, and how King Bumi's dialogue went was pretty radically different as well.
Yeah.
But I did actually enjoy the way this. So they combined all those stories all into one, which and executed it pretty well. And I actually did enjoy that. So going back to what I was saying, as a diehard fan, them changing things slightly, or even that to Matt, and still keeping the core essence of the show was still pretty good to me, and I enjoyed that.
Yeah, definitely.
I want to. Do you have anything for overall before I get into the nitpicky?
No, not really. Like I said, overall, I, as someone coming fresh, without having much expectations going into it, I was blown away by the world building, by the depth of the characters, and yeah, I can definitely see why it's a beloved property.
Cool. All right. So I'm gonna shift to the individual characters / the actors.
Mm-hmm.
So Gordon Cormier, who played Aang,
actually
did shave his head, so it's not a bald cap. He actually did shave his head. I thought he did a pretty good job. He was, like you said, mentioned earlier, he was very likable. The one thing that I did have a slight issue, and I don't know if this was just the way he acts or maybe it was a directing decision.
Mm-hmm.
Everything he said was a lot of, like, matter of fact.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, oh, like, whenever he's doing his internal, he's like, oh, well, I have to do this, and I don't think this is... And it kind of pulled me away, and maybe this is just a personal thing, kind of pulled me away from him saying it as a, this is something that needs to happen, versus he was saying it to, like... There's this popular thing in storytelling where it's, show, don't tell.
Right.
And there was a lot of times where I felt like he was telling what's on his mind rather than showing through acting or emotion. And that was... And I'm not saying it happened all the time, but there's a few scenes that had happened and I felt kind of disconnected from his character.
Honestly, for me, I think that aspect of his character kind of made him feel more childlike.
Okay, that makes sense.
Because...
I did not think of that one.
Because, you know, to a child's mind, it's very linear. It's very matter of factly.
Yeah.
You know, there's not very much
black or white.
Black or yeah. It's there's not too many shades of gray. It's, oh, this is what's happening. This is what I have to do, and this is what's going on. So I noticed that as well, but I thought that was a good, if it was a directing choice, it was a good one because it made him feel a little bit more childlike to me.
Interesting. Okay, we'll see how it goes in the further, and I'll keep that in mind next time I watch the season 2 and 3. So, moving on to Katara, who was played by Kiawentilo Tarbell. So in the original source material, everybody more or less hates Katara because she's just like an annoying mom figure of the group, and she's like, "Oh my god, guys, we have to do this. Guys, we have to be safe. Guys, we have to do this." And she's just annoying. But in this show, I actually liked her a lot more. She was, I mean, she wanted to go out and do the more adventurous stuff. She's like, "I want to do this," and you know, way more forward in her thinking, the way more forward in her actions. And even the girl who played her, I thought she did actually a fantastic job.
No, her character was great. I thought, you know, she was kind of like the backbone of the group.
Yeah, I agree. She definitely pulled it together. I enjoyed it. Moving on to the comic relief of the show, Sokka, who was played by Ian Ousley. In the show, in the original, Sokka is literally the he's the punching bag. He's the comic relief. And in the show, and in kind of this one, he is also the I'm the manly man, manly man.
They made
manly
him.
Manly.
They made him very much more of a ladies' man than he was in the animated.
Yeah, a lot more. He was pulling left and right. Now, here's a fun controversy that I heard, which I don't agree with, or maybe it's people that don't know. So, in the original source material, he is, like I said, very manly man. Girls do this, guys do that, but he's tolerant of it. A lot of people were like, yo, this is not okay in today's age. Like, a man should not be like that. You know, like, everyone can do their parts. Now, this is just people, you know, bullshitting on Twitter and things. But if you've seen the show, that's literally his character, and he has a fantastic character development throughout the show.
Yeah, where stay away from Twitter.
Yeah, but I just wanted to address that yes, that is his character, but let it run.
Well, I mean, I never felt that he was like pushy or disrespectful or anything like that with any of his love interests. And if anything, I think it made a little bit more sense in the live action because the Katara and Sokka were aged up a little bit.
For the
live action because they're much younger.
Yeah, they're like 13, 14, 15 at max.
Yeah.
So, something
and,
like
and
that.
And they're probably, what, closer to 16, 17 in the live action?
Something like that. So, yeah. But Sokka, comic relief. And I think that even as dark as the show was, he still brought his comic relief effect. But not like slapstick funny. It was like clever
and
funny.
And especially for the live action, they definitely did tone down the comic relief aspect.
But even then,
he was a comedic character, but he was more of a supporting character.
Yeah, fair enough. Moving on to our big bad, Prince Zuko, played by Dallas Liu. I know you had mentioned this earlier, but I thought I think he captured the essence of Zuko. In my opinion.
A sniveling little brat?
Yes. So, Do you sympathize with that, only looking at the live action, you sympathize with this character? Or do you think that he is over the top and kind of like he should get punched in the face?
Okay, so going through the first 6 episodes, I did not like him. I did not see much redeeming in him, didn't care for him. It wasn't until they gave his background on how he got banished that I was like, okay. So it's all a mask.
Gotcha.
And so
it's the blue mask.
Yeah. So you know, as his uncle was explaining to the rest of the crew while he was out rescuing Aang, like, you know, explaining how he got banished and all of that. Like, now all of that makes sense. All of the angst, all of the whatever. But I mean, I still think he's a whiny little brat, but I guess I can empathize with him a little bit more. But it's as a character, it's gonna take a little bit longer. You know,
to like him a little bit more.
To like him a little bit more. Like I said, I see where they're going with it. But yeah, they did a damn good job of making him unlikable.
Even better. Speaking of Uncle, so Uncle Iroh is probably one of those beloved characters in all of that series.
Yeah.
He is not only the voice, his Jiminy Cricket of Zuko, he's just a very likable character, and later we found out he's a very powerful character. But he was played in the live action by Paul Sun-Hyun Lee, who is one of my favorite actors in the world. He is most famously known for Kim's Convenience, a television series, which I
love.
And he's also been in the new Star Wars reboot, so he's in one of the X-Fighter pilots, mm-hmm. so in the new series.
Yes, yes.
So we might differ on this. Though I think he did a great job what he was given, I thought this Uncle Iroh was a little bit more... I'm not going to say he was aggressive, but comparative to the original source material Uncle Iroh, he was a little bit more aggressive. So when he got captured by the Earth Kingdom warriors and he was being taken, mm-hmm. and the way he was speaking to them, he was just like, you know, we suffer in our own ways. And he was like a little... Like
yeah.
He was... Had his chains not been there, he might have tried to fight, versus original Uncle Iroh would just smile and be like, I'm sorry, you know, that happened.
So... I think so. Again, I'm about one and a half or halfway in through season two, so I've seen a little bit of what you're talking about with Uncle Iroh. I think it has a lot more to do with the actor's presence,
mm-hmm.
more than any particular acting, because he was very soft spoken, he was very deliberate, he was very kind with his words. But he has an aura of conflict.
Yes.
Which is one of those, like, as a martial artist, you can probably appreciate mm-hmm. that, like, I'm not afraid of the guy that's spitting fire and talking shit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm afraid of the guy that's calmly sitting there, just quietly thinking to himself and waiting for his turn.
Yeah.
That's the guy.
That makes sense.
That's the guy that I'm worried about. So, and that's the kind of, I guess, aura that I got from the actor.
Gotcha. Now, did you get that aura from Fire Lord Ozai, who was played by Daniel Dae Kim? Not to be confused by Daniel Dae Lewis, who was a white guy. Daniel Dae
Kim. Get out. Give me your
Daniel Dae Kim played Fire Lord Ozai. Mm-hmm. Now, Fire Lord Ozai has a lot to live up to. Or I take that, but Daniel Dae Kim has a lot to live up to, because the original Lord Ozai was played by Mark Hamill.
Oh.
Yep. There's a lot of famous people in the original.
In the original cast? Yeah.
Yeah. But the original Ozai was voiced by Mark Hamill, and this one was played by Daniel Dae Kim. I think he did a bang-up job.
I mean, he looked the part.
He looked the part, the way he spoke, the way he carried himself, and like you said, he was fiery and quick, but he had that aura about him. He's like, you mess with me, and you're going to get a burnt eye.
I know that some people were complaining about the fact that they showed him in the first season when he wasn't really shown at all in the source material in the first season. But I think it was necessary for the way that this progressed. And they didn't show a lot of him, but they showed enough.
Yeah. And that was one of those things where it's a twist, where from the original to now, I'm glad they did, because, like I said, if it was scene to scene, I don't think I would have liked it. But because they showed him, you get a better understanding of what is going on as a whole, rather than just following Team Avatar.
Maybe I was reading too much into it, but, like, he seemed a little bit more empathetic in the live action than he did in the anime. Let me explain what I mean by that. There were a few moments in the especially like when he banished Zuko,
mm-hmm.
right? Like in the anime, like he was very cold, he was very uncaring, he just discarded him like a pawn.
Yeah.
And basically threw him out to complete what he saw as an uncompletable task.
Yeah.
Right? Whereas in the live action, yes, it was still, I'm going to send you out for an uncompletable task.
But it came to check on him.
But it seemed to me more that it was, if you're going to do this, it was kind of like he saw how soft Zuko actually was, and he's like, bro, if you really want this throne, you're gonna have to toughen the hell up.
Yeah.
And yeah, and it seemed more like of a tough love thing, whereas like in the right, animated show, he really doesn't care.
Yep. And now that you mention it, so I was gonna move on to Azula, who doesn't get introduced until season two.
Mm-hmm.
But in this show, he basically almost seems like he favors Zuko more than Azula.
Yes.
He keeps trying Azula to be better, and then she's like, yo, I can do this. So until the end where she's like, let me just do this.
Yeah.
And at that point, he's like, all right, fine.
Yeah, and that was the other thing, too, because Azula kept trying to, like, position herself and scheme and maneuver behind the scene to place herself in a better light than her brother. Mm-hmm. And there was even a point in which he's like, you know, your brother's out there, you know, doing what's asked of him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even though it's almost an impossible task, but he's
still there. Yeah.
And so I don't know if it was him just trying to pit them against each other, or if it was maybe he did kind of have that hope that Zuko would, you know, overcome those obstacles.
Yeah, that is a good point. I didn't think about it that way. So that is a good a change that they did from the original to now, which even then I do like. I'm not saying I don't like it, but it is a very drastic change.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And speaking of, what is it, Azula?
Azula, yeah.
Yeah, she's fucking nuts.
Yeah. Yeah. Azula is, yeah. She's like Joker level crazy.
Yeah, no. Yeah, so that was another one of the big differences that I saw was that in this one, she was working with General Zhao.
Yes.
To kill Zuko.
Yes. So
was it like that in the animated? Because I don't think
she wasn't introduced until season two.
Yeah.
So she was not directly involved.
So she was involved in this one.
Yeah. Now speaking of General Zhao, who was played by Ken Leung, and I don't know if you recognize this because I did not until someone pointed it out to me. Mm-hmm. Ken Leung is from Rush Hour.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah,
he's
yeah.
He's the dude with the thing. He's like, yeah. Wipe yourself off. You bleeding.
Yeah, yeah.
He's that guy.
Yeah. Hey, man, like 20 some odd years will do that.
Coming back, man. I just wanted to point that out. I was like, I did not recognize him in the slightest. But he did a great job. He did the classic.
Again, they did a great job of making a dislikable character dislikable. He was sniveling, conniving, scheming.
Like, oh, we should do it this way. And then obviously.
And then the worst plot ever. Like, I'm not just. I want to take over the world. But it's. No. You know what it was? He's Lord Baelish. He's Lord Baelish. He would rather be King of the Ashes.
Yeah.
Than, you know what I'm saying? Like,
so Miggs's rant is that he destroyed the moon spirit because he's like, if I can't have it, nobody can. And he's like, I'm going to screw you, but I'm going to screw myself too. And now everyone's just going to
live in darkness. Well, his big plan was to destroy the water tribe and keep them from ever being able to waterbend, which is what the moon does, because that's where the waterbenders draw their power from.
Yep.
Right? So destroying the moon was going to destroy the waterbenders, which was basically the last big stronghold that was opposing the Fire Nation. And then he was going to go up against Fire Lord Ozai or whatever.
Ozai, yeah.
Ozai.
And
which I don't think he thought about that because he still had to fight him. And that I don't think that would have gone his way, even if he killed the moon or not.
Yep.
And then, yeah, you as like everybody was telling him, like, yo, like, that's a bad idea. Like, that's gonna f*** everybody.
yes. And then obviously Aang comes in and just works, which was fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I do want to go into some very nitpicky stuff. Now, okay. I can talk about the original Avatar show for like hours.
Okay.
But I'm not gonna do that. I'll do that on my own time.
Okay.
One thing I do want to mention. So another change that they did was they introduced Aang got introduced to Kyoshi before he got introduced to Roku.
Yeah.
Avatar, which was a change but still pretty solid.
That was the demon with the face eating thing, right?
No. Avatar Roku was the previous Avatar before,
okay,
Aang. but he got introduced to Avatar Kyoshi, the island.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which was a big change, but it was still pretty good. Suki, fantastic. Mm. The warrior girl.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Very attractive. But their love interest between Sokka was a little too forward. In the show, mm. it's very slow. Like, they yeah. don't like each other like that. Which was pretty interesting as well.
Yeah, but you know, I mean, they didn't have Sokka the love guru in the anime. This guy, all he's got to do is, hey, Sokka, Water Tribe.
But yeah, so that was a big change that I thought was pretty interesting, but still pulled off pretty well. Now, when you had mentioned the cycle,
yeah,
or the Avatar cycle. That is directly taken from the Dalai Lama. Mm-hmm. His life in real life. So the Dalai Lama, they said that he reincarnates, and that's where that comes from.
Oh,
there's a lot of like real world influences in Avatar.
Cool.
So, do you have any final thoughts?
Final thoughts was, I'm sorry I didn't listen to you earlier. I should have watched this show a while ago. It's great, and I can't wait to finish the anime.
Sure. I loved it. I thought it was a great twist to the original source material because I do love the original. Fun fact, season 2 and season 3 have been renewed by Netflix in their official greenlit. So they will be making future shows of that, and I hope it actually continues as is because they've done a pretty good job.
Heck yeah.
Let us know what you thought of the new Avatar show in the comments below.
As always, don't forget to hit that comment, like, and subscribe. We appreciate all of the input. It helps us out with the algorithm, any interactions that you have with us. So don't forget to show us some love. We appreciate you guys tuning in, and we will catch you next time with some more content.